The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Young, healthy people may still face a lifetime risk of dying early from cardiovascular disease if they don't keep their cholesterol levels under control. And my next guest, only in her 40s, discovered she had high cholesterol. So welcome back, the fabulous pharmacist, Laura Dowling. Laura, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're a qualified pharmacist, so therefore you have a medical background. I'm sure you were checking your cholesterol all the time.
I was not. Are you joking me? No. But once I get into my mid-40s, I said I'd go for a little check because my mum and dad actually have it. And I knew with the perimenopause, you know, deep in it, and the menopause looming, that our cardiovascular risk as females actually increases.
But your mum and dad are fine.
Well, they're fit as fiddles, yeah. Dad's on a statin now, mum isn't. She managed to get hers down with diet and exercise. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that we need to be aware of, I think, and women in particular need to be aware of.
So what's the evidence about women's levels going up in the menopause or after the menopause?
Yeah, so postmenopausally, women's risk of cardiovascular disease increases and we kind of level off to the similar risk to that of men, whereas prior to that, we've much healthier hearts compared to men. So it can affect us in many ways, but you know, there are many risk factors. So high cholesterol will be one, high blood pressure, smoking, lack of exercise, insulin resistance. There's a number of factors that are involved. So I think that it's important that women are aware of their heart health because we don't really talk about it that much. We talk about breast cancer a lot and women are heart scared of breast cancer, and there's a reason for that. Obviously, it's an awful disease for a woman to get. However, 1 in 4 women will die from heart disease, and women are 6 times more likely to die from heart disease than they are from breast cancer. But we don't hear about that, and we don't hear about that important part of what's going on inside a woman's body.
In people's minds, it tends to be associated with middle-aged smoking men.
That's right. Yes, exactly. So it's important that women do look after their heart health from a young age. And you're never too young to start, just to let everyone know that. But the reason why I went and got my cholesterol levels checked was A, because I was in perimenopause, I had a family history, and it came back that my cholesterol was high. So the fact that I know now that it's high at the age of 44, I can implement measures in my life to try and get it down and to try and keep it steadily down. Because it's not just about how high your cholesterol is at any one point in time, it's about how long it has been high for. So say, for instance, I waited till I was 54 to get my bloods done. And it came up that it was high then, but it had been high for 10 years. That's the cholesterol working its way in my arteries, potentially causing damage there for 10 years that I didn't know about.
Now, we're always told there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol.
There is, yeah.
So how does all that work?
Okay, well, just to say, all cholesterol is good. We need it for life. So cholesterol is the reason why we make hormones. It's the reason why we make bile acids and vitamins. So cholesterol is good. We need a certain amount of it. But there is high cholesterol and there's low cholesterol. So it's HDL and there's LDL. And LDL is considered to be the bad boy. And that's because it is what does the damage to the arteries. And the HDL is actually what brings the LDL back to the liver for reprocessing.
Okay, so when you get a cholesterol result, is it broken down? You've got this much good and this much bad.
It is. It's broken down to HDL, LDL and triglycerides. And what's actually important is that people understand the ratios of your cholesterol are important as well. So the total cholesterol to HDL is a very important ratio. So it should be less than 6. And as well as the other numbers being important too. So my LDL is actually 3.9. It should be less than 3. So I have to work on getting that down. But I'm lucky insofar as my high density lipoprotein, my HDL, is actually high.
So my
ratios are good, but my LDL could get lower. So we're going to work on that. But there's only so much lifestyle can do as well. So it's important that people understand that too.
Now, I suspect you were going to the gym anyway.
Yes. So and I'm going more.
Okay.
No, do you know what? I'm actually making a more conscious effort to try and exercise every day. Whereas before I would have been like 3 or 4 times a week. And I am slim and I try and eat as healthily as I can, although I do love an ale glass of red wine and a gin and tonic sometimes together and an Indian curry. But I do, for the most part, cook from scratch, eat healthily. And
so you're doing all the right things.
Yeah.
So a bit of a fright then to see this number.
Well, I was. And do you know what? You do a bit of blaming yourself. Oh my goodness, what could I do to make this worse? What did I do to do this to myself? But I think that it's important that you have your numbers, you know your numbers, and then you can try and implement measures to try and make your lifestyle healthier, to try and get those levels down or to try and make your heart healthier for longer.
Now, what changes did you bring about? You say you eat healthy. Did you change diet at all?
So I did. What I did was is I've increased the amount of oats I eat.
Oats, because porridge.
Porridge, I know. And you can make, you know, you can make oat cakes, you can make overnight oats, you can have oats in absolutely everything. Right. You'd be surprised. You can actually put it on a crumb on your chicken and make a lovely crumb from it. But if you, it has been proven that if you eat 60 grams of oats per day for 3 weeks, that can help to reduce cholesterol levels. And, you know, eating lots of lovely green leafy vegetables and having a diet that is low in saturated fat or low-ish in saturated fat. We have come away from the thinking where, you know, foods that contain cholesterol are bad for you. We used to say that, you know, don't eat eggs if you have high cholesterol. That's absolutely not the truth. Yeah. What we should be doing is watching our saturated fat level.
Okay, but people, you know, they used to think that if you eat fat, that you got fat. But it's calories in all forms that actually build up fat, isn't it?
Well, that's true. But I think that I don't really love focusing on the whole calorie thing because I think it can be, you know, it can lead to people having issues with food. I think if we try and eat as healthy as we can, but if you have high cholesterol, we watch our saturated fat. So really, women should be aiming to have less than 20 grams of saturated fat a day and men less than 30, particularly
what,
if they're watching their heart.
What does that mean?
So
let's
I'll tell
talk
you what that
sausages.
Means. Right, I'll tell you what that means, right? Because I love butter.
Okay.
Love it. So I put bread on my butter rather than the other way around. So if you have a 10 gram tablespoonful of Kerrygold butter, sorry, Kerrygold, shout out to Kerrygold, just love the taste of it.
So a tablespoon is the biggest spoon in the drawer.
If you have a 10 gram tablespoon, but it isn't actually that much. If you put that in a slice of, I love my high fiber batch loaf, you know, it's just, it's enough.
Barely doing the job.
It is barely doing the job, Pat. And that is actually over a quarter of your recommended daily saturated fat in that tablespoon. So, you know, you have that for your breakfast. You maybe have two slices. That's over a half of your saturated fat. Then you have, you know, some, I don't know, a steak for your dinner, some ice cream. You're heading well into over that saturated fat territory. So you just need to be mindful of what you're eating in that sense. And then you can replace the saturated fat with polyunsaturated fats and monounsaturated fats, such as olive oil. You can make avocado paste. There's lots
so
of different
So what are
ways
you putting on your oat bread instead of Kerrygold?
So on my oat bread instead of Kerrygold, I'm just putting a bit of honey, to be honest with you. So it's about making those small lifestyle changes that are easy to implement and not trying to change absolutely everything in one go, because it's just, that's quite unattainable.
Now, you engaged with your Instagram followers on your cholesterol plight. What kind of response did you get?
Oh my goodness, it was immense. I got over 1 million views on that video, and it was really just simply saying I have high cholesterol and, you know, I'm going to try and get it reduced. The amount of interest in it was unbelievable, but I actually had to turn comments off because there was a lot of misinformation being shared on it. And you can't moderate when you have hundreds of thousands of comments on a post. So I had to turn the comments off. But yes, people are very interested in cholesterol. They're interested in reducing their cholesterol naturally. And then they're interested in the drugs that can be used to reduce cholesterol.
Yeah. So now, statins, some people go on statins and they come in various forms.
They do.
And they get joint pain.
Yes, that can be a result of being on a statin. Now, what you might want to do in that case is talk to your doctor about maybe changing statin.
Yeah.
You can take something like CoQ10. You can take omega-3s or increase your omega-3s through your diet with fish and that. So there are ways around that. And a lot of people don't actually experience the joint pain either. It can be a side effect. But
so it's just something if people do experience it, not to worry about it.
No,
it is a side effect of some statins.
Absolutely. And there are going to be side effects. But the reality is if you're going to try and reduce your long-term risk over time, statins may have to be an option for you in the future or currently, presently. And I'd much rather be on a statin and stay healthier for longer than not be on one.
Now, you know the way there are people who are fit. For example, if you're running the 100 meter sprint, you get fit to that, but you couldn't run a mile. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So how do you measure your fitness in terms of doing what is required?
Okay, well, I went all out now when I got this cholesterol test, and I went and got a VO max test as well. So VO max is a very good marker for longevity and for fitness. And it measures how fit you are. So basically you put on this mask and you run for 12 or 14 minutes or however long you can run until you have to stop. It's not very comfortable, and it measures basically how fit you are at that given time. So given your age, your weight and all that, takes all of that into account. And the higher the VO max, basically the fitter that you are. So that is definitely a way of testing how fit you are. But you can also do it, you know, online if you don't want to go for one of those tests, because they, you know, now they cost maybe about €100, but it does take effort and you do feel like you want to die at the end of it. So you can just look up online the Cooper test, and you can do that where you put on a pair of trainers, you run for 12 or 14 minutes, and you estimate how long you ran for and how long you actually ran, and you can kind of put it into a calculator and spit it out like that. It's good enough. It's not an exact measure because you don't have the mask on, you're not breathing into the mask, it's not measuring the actual amount of oxygen you're outputting or you're taking in and CO2 that you're expelling, but it's a rough indicator.
Yeah. Generally, so getting your heart rate up and seeing how quickly it comes down is a fairly...
Absolutely, how well your heart recovers is very important.
Now, I notice you're not wearing a smartwatch, you know, so you're not using an Apple Watch to check all your vital signs.
No, I'm not.
So you're not preoccupied.
I'm not preoccupied, no. And in actual fact, those watches are good to kind of measure steps and things like that. But in terms of when they come up with the VO2 max test, that's a really rudimentary analysis, because how can it test your VO2 max?
But your blood oxygen, for example, some of them...
Yeah, some of them do. And I think they're good. Those watches are good if they get you moving and they keep you busy and they keep you occupied. But to become preoccupied by it might be a little bit too much. No, I want to live my life too.
So the fabulous pharmacist has changed her life. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel wonderful.
Do you know what?
I feel the same.
You feel the same.
And okay. Time will tell. I'll only know when I go for another blood test to see if it came down.
All right. Now, people can follow you where?
On Instagram at Fabulous Pharmacist, or, God, I've ventured into TikTok, Pat. It's an evil territory. I wouldn't advise it.
But you're there.
But I'm there anyway. And Facebook as well. Just Fabulous Pharmacist.
Okay, so the evil Fabulous Pharmacist is available on TikTok and Instagram. Thank you, Laura, very much
for joining us
in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.